Cooperative, trying to help small organizations or individuals get their email, website creation, and website hosting services off corporate services such as Google. For more information, contact us at kumbit.org or email at info@kumbit.org. That's K-O-U-M-B-I-T. We are not on Facebook.
Is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
It was almost love, almost something worth singing about.
Sandra Botha, her songs will touch your heart and fuel your soul. Winner of the Toronto Blues Society Talent Search, Sandra Botha is an R&B and soul singer-songwriter. Her new release, Falling Away From Me, is filled with deep grooves that reveal her sultry and soulful vocals. Catch a live online concert April 10th. Tickets and info available at sandrabouza.com.
There's a lot of people here, man. A lot of people like heavy music, huh?
We are here to make, you know, a statement. If people don't recognize it, it's you!
In a world full of posers, Metallic Montreal steps forth to light the way. From the power to the flash, the black, the doom, and the death. Heavy music needs a champion. 90.3 FM, CKUT.
is the Fight, Witch Hazel, off of their album Pentecost 3. I'm assuming this is the third album in either a trilogy or of the band. I'm your host, Noah the Bastard Child, here for Metallic Montreal, the world's heaviest radio show. Oh my god, that hurts my throat. I gotta learn the technique properly. Welcome to 2021. The year's different, but everything still feels a little bit the same. Instead of putting together a 2020 best of list, which I haven't done yet because I've been incredibly lazy, I figured why not just go through a bunch of best of lists other people have written, not do any work, and find all the bands I've never heard of and give them a chance. So this is going to be an interesting show. I don't know almost any of these bands. So we're going to be listening to this fresh. No further ado, Butcher.
Oh,
Butcher right there. The track Iron Bitch off of 666 Goats Carry My Chariot. Love that imagery. Really, really cool album artwork, too. Definitely check it out. Before I forget, we're going to have Modir in the studio. F from Modir. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be a fun interview. Not too long. But first, some more cool stuff. Hellripper, The Affair of the Poisons. Skull Ripper, The Affair of the Poisons. Coming up next, we've got the interview. But first, we're going to play a track off of La Tempeste, the last record by Modir. This is Abuse the Used. Welcome back to Metallic Montreal. I am now here with F of Modir. How's it going?
It's going great. You?
Quite well.
Yeah, maybe great. Great is a big word for our current situation.
It's hard to ever be very positive about anything these days, but you know, people try.
Yes, that's it exactly.
Well, that actually leads me into my first question that I had for you, which is how do you feel that quarantine and just being at home a lot has affected your musical output?
For me, it didn't change really anything for Maudire because I'm working alone. I'm doing it all alone. So that's the first EP I've done that. And in 2020, I had planned to do the follow-up to Le Tempest. So I just did it the same way, you know. All I need is my computer and to get off my ass and do it. So when I released Le Tempest, I had already two songs in the making. So I just continued doing it, and for the lyrics themselves, that really affected the lyrics for sure. The political climate and the whole COVID-19 crisis, and you know, all the protests and all that crazy stuff, that really got into the lyrics, that for sure. So that kind of set the tone for everything else there. You know, I just started getting maybe a little more progressive in the music. And the subject was already all about Donald Trump and his followers and all that crazy stuff they were doing. And, you know, the protests about wearing masks and all that stuff. I'm working in a pharmaceutical company, and, you know, I wear a mask for all day long. You know, it's kind of nothing, you know, it's not gonna be like, it's not crippling you, you know, it's just something you do to protect yourself and other people. So, you know, all that stuff, it's went into the lyrics, that's for sure.
It's interesting. A lot of people try very hard to keep politics or just like anything tangible that people could disagree with outside of their music because they don't want to have to make a statement. But you seem very eager to, or at the very least willing to say that stuff. Why do you think that that's okay for this project?
For me, it's... You know, I've worked other projects that were like fantasy driven, maybe, you know, not so much direct in the lyrics, but, you know, black metal, I guess you could be direct about what you want to say. Metal in general, you can do that for sure, but I don't know. I just wanted to talk about real stuff in that project. First EP was more about, you know, all kinds of stuff touching environment, religion. There's some stuff about religion for sure on this one too, on La Part du Diable, but again, it's right-wing religion being close to politics in the United States and even Canada, you know. They're rising, you know, and right-wing extremists. And for me, I don't know, man. I wanted to talk about that stuff, and it's extreme music, so I guess I can say whatever I want. And, you know, I don't know if I'll ever experience death threats or all that stuff, but that didn't happen yet, so that's okay.
Well, I mean, there's still time, right?
Yeah, there's still time, for sure.
No, it's cool. I very much support artists being able to make, you know, political statements as much as they want. I just find it particularly interesting because of the styles of music that you play, right? Like black metal is very traditionally associated with a lot of these right-wing views. I mean, at least in its foundation, at least in the early days, black metal Quebecois has always been like kind of secessionist and very right-leaning. You could say the same about a lot of the people up in the Scandinavian scene as well. Like Varg is no liberal.
No, that's for sure. Yeah, Varg, I like Burzum, but no, Varg, I cannot get behind what he's saying and stuff like that. It's the same thing for Toki. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's very intense. I like the music, but it's at some point it's racist and all that stuff. It's pretty embarrassing. But no, for me, I'm really not on the right wing side of things. You know, I don't understand how you can get too much behind religion when you're a metalhead, but that's okay. I know you can. I know some people do it, and that's okay. But for me, I've very often written about religion in metal, and it was never very positive. So, you know.
So what do you think makes a compelling solo project? Why did you decide to do this all by yourself? And do you think you would ever collaborate with any other musicians on it? Like, for example, a drummer?
I've done that with other projects before, bands or hiring musicians. And I found it interesting, but difficult. I've hired people that were in the States, you know, and they sent me their tracks and all. It's fantastic with the internet. You can do that pretty easily. But the thing is, it's long, you know, you ask for the drum tracks and maybe you're going to receive them months after we started working. So it's a pretty grueling project and draining sometimes. So that's what led me to do it all by myself, because I was really getting tired of waiting on people. And let me tell you that in this past year, I haven't regretted my choice. It was so much easier to continue working, you know. Well, I know a lot of people were stranded, you know, waiting for to be able to get together to continue working. So for now, I'm happy with that. I'm sure at some point I'll get tired of doing everything alone, and I'll need other people, you know, to play with other people. But still, I play in cover bands too, you know, so that's how I get my kick of playing with other people. So I can continue working my own stuff there and play with other people for the fun of it.
So something I noticed listening through the last record and then also the single that you just dropped, I'm trying to remember the name of the single. I think it's The Slumber.
Yes, that's it.
For those unaware, that is going to be off of the new EP, which comes out February 19th, La Part du Diablo.
Yes, La Part du Diable.
Yeah, so a lot of the tunes, it's very interesting, like the kinds of influences you can tell are there. Like, there's very much like an 80s thrash kind of vibe to it in the way that you voice your solos and some of like the chord changes. But at the same time, it has this like incredibly harsh black metal vibe as well. Those two genres are very kind of opposites in almost every aspect. How do you reconcile those differences?
Yeah, I guess you're right. There isn't much melodic solos in black metal. That's something I was wondering why nobody's really doing it, but it's not very very popular. I don't know why. So for me, it's very interesting. But, you know, I discovered black metal a couple of years ago, but it was the black metal like Dimmu Borgir and Cradle of Filth, you know, the melodic symphonic black metal. Mm. The true, what they call the true cult black metal.
Trevu, you got to pronounce the V's.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've pretty much discovered that only 2 or 3 years ago, going into that, you know, the classic Satyricon and Mayhem. I was already a melodic guitar player, much more in modern thrash or Maiden style voicings, stuff like that. So I just incorporated it into black metal because I found it very interesting. It was refreshing for me to rediscover that stuff I had heard for sure in the 90s, when it got out, the Norwegian black metal scene. I heard about it, you know, I heard some records, but I wasn't ready for that. I was into Pantera and all that stuff, you know. It's just, when you hear it first time, you hear Burzum, and in the 90s, we were just laughing our ass off. I mean, it was just sounding like shit to me back then, you know. But now everything sounds too much like the same in modern metal. So it's really refreshing to go back to these stuff. And black metal in general, some try to keep that sound, but other do it another way. It's pretty much freestyle what you can do in black metal production wise, and that's what interested me in that. You can do anything and you can mix up stuff like maybe I tried to do melodic and trash mixed into all of this.
I completely agree. I come originally from a lot of like the sludge scene. That's kind of where I got started with heavy music, sludge, hardcore, dare I say metallic hardcore for all of those purists out there. And a lot of that music really is like the production of it and just like the types of tones. It's very raw, it's very organic, it's very visceral in a way that isn't compatible with like the modern super clean quantize everything production style. And that's something I've always loved about black metal as well. And I find it really interesting over the last like five to 10 years, there's been kind of a shift away from, you know, that modern metal sound. Like, people make fun of djent like crazy now. It's no longer cool, and it never really was cool, but it's even less cool than it used to be.
We need renewal at some point. Yeah, in the 90s and, you know, beginning of 2000s, it was interesting because everybody was trying to, you know, get better sounding and heavier, and it was really interesting when Fear Factory came about, and, you know, Pantera before, for sure. Those were big, big shifts. Carcass, you could, oh wow, this sounds great. It was new, you know. everybody was trying to be cleaner and all, but now that's the thing, it's just everybody sounds like that, so fuck, it's getting, almost annoying. So that I can understand why people are trying to come back to stuff, old stuff, or find new ways of doing things, maybe.
Where do you think in 5 to 10 years aesthetics are going to be?
Really hard to say. What was interesting in the old productions too is was the studios. The studios were the rooms. Mm. The rooms were giving, for the drums. That's the foundation of the music, and the sound of the drum sounds were due to the big rooms and the mics and all that stuff. And now those studios are closed pretty much. So everybody's doing albums on their laptops, and that's what I'm doing actually. I cannot bash on this because that's wonderful that you can do that, but at the same time we're slaves to the sounds that we have. I cannot mic a drum where I'm producing Modi. It's a small room, and everybody's gonna kill me. That's gonna be the difficulty for people. If you want to go back to the old ways, I don't know how you're going to be able to do that. Maybe the equipment will get better and you'll be able to mic your drum in a small room and make it sound super interesting, and then you can also do the same thing. And you have to take the decision at some point, okay, I won't go into editing, like you said, exactly against the grid for everything. And that's a courageous decision that you have to do, because everybody's doing it. So personally, I didn't do it, but it's not real drums. Also on Appart du Diable, it's programming. It's programming.
Yeah, no drums. Shit. It sounds like it too.
Yeah. So that's life. That's what I have. That's what I can work with. But for the rest, it's real guitars. It's plugged in the sound card, and it's amp simulators. But I haven't copy-pasted the guitars. I haven't touched, the chords or anything shifting against the grid, and same for the bass. And so that's a human element that stays in the project for me. It makes it imperfect. There's some imperfections there, and I kept that. So that's a decision. Either you do that, or either you edit it to death, and you make it super clean, super perfect, and that's a lot of what people are doing now. And at some point, it's gonna become stale, maybe.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting. I think that amp simulators have come really a long way in the last little bit. Like, there's so many of them now, and they're all so dirt cheap, and they sound incredible. Like, they sound as good as you could ever need them to. I think we're not quite there yet with sampled drums. But that said, 15 years ago, there was Superior Drummer and nothing else, and it sounded one way, and that was the best you could hope for. But now, all of these producers, they'll put up recordings of their own drums in their own studios. Like, I know Kurt Perlew just did a thing for, a Kontakt library. And so they'll take these different recordings with different microphones in different positions and let you kind of select that in your drum sample library, to try and emulate, I guess, some aspect of that. And I think you're right that those big studios are kind of gone and not necessarily coming back, because, people can't afford to do that anymore. It's not practical. But the same attitude, the same kind of energy of trying to get an acoustic space, like an actual live recording environment, back into the software, I think that's really interesting. And I'm curious how long it's going to be until drummers become completely obsolete.
Yeah, that's kind of a necessary evil for me to do that, not working with the drummers. But, when you play with a real drummer, man, it's drummers have to stay for sure, because there's a groove with the drummer. Sometimes they play behind the beat, sometimes they play before. But if you go into a studio and you record a drummer and edit everything to the grid, it's like a drum machine.
Like, why bother? It's not even worth
and
it.
Yeah, that's it. And you replace the snare with a digital snare and the bass drum, and that. So, man, it's no different than when I'm doing programming drums and making it going into the beats and making this, playing with snare velocities to make it more human and stuff. So,
if I had to make a prediction, I think the only way it's going to survive is if people get a lot more comfortable with recording like electric drums and just taking the MIDI and putting it into their software and having that be how you record drums in the future. Because I could see that keeping the humanity while making it practical.
Man, if I could be a drummer, I'm not a drummer, so that's the missing thing. I would sure record drums, because it's a pain in the ass to program drums, you know. If I could play them, that might be easier. It's a lot of time to put into the drum beats to make them interesting and to try to personalize them, you know.
Both the EP that you dropped and the upcoming EP have these photos of urban environments. What's the significance of that?
Yeah, that's my brother, man. My brother is actually the second honorary member of Modi. That was his idea, the first picture, the picture of the Tempest. That was close to his home. It's, you know, that was an old... that's where they burn trash. I don't know how to say it in English. So that was like the environmental significance for the first EP. And the second one, I had an idea to take La Tour de la Bourse à Montréal, in Montreal, you know, and that's just because, you know, talking about the powers of finance that are ruling our lives, and you know, my brother took a picture from like under, like if you're in the dump, you know, but it's over you, that big building that
towers over you.
Yeah, towers over you, and that's his photography, and that's what I like about this project is, you know, he's very much implicated. I'm always sending him the songs first to know it, to have his opinion, and it's a family. It's a nice family project.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a departure from all of the black and white photos of snow-covered forests and mountain ranges.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you gotta do something different, maybe, you know.
So then, the last question I always ask people, what's a band that you are really into right now that you think isn't getting enough attention?
Obsikia. It's black metal, but medieval. But it's not from Europe, it's from the States. It's one guy, he's not doing everything alone. He hires a drummer, I think, and he's got a harp player. So it's very medieval. But I really like it because it has a sound that reminds me from old Opeth, like Morning Rise era. So Obsikia, they have a kind of an interesting production like that, and I really like the guys playing, you know, his leads, his melodies are nice, and it should be known more, I think.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. Anything else you want to say?
Like you said, the new hippie, La Part du Diable, will be out February 19, 2021. And it's going to be for free on Bandcamp again. And if you want to pay for it, cool. If you don't, download it and spread it. That's the thing. Share it with your friends. I make music for passion and for people to hear it.
So thank you very much to F for stopping by. We're going to play that single that he was just talking about. This is The Slumber Moodier.
Slumber, take me a shot away.
that got heavy quick. Of Feather and Bone, Noctemnania. Sulfuric Disintegration is the album. Definitely go check that out. It's pretty interesting. Up next, we've got End Ocean's Five of Swords off of Cosmic World Mother here on Metallic Montreal, CKUT 90.3 FM. Some HM2 for y'all right there. That track was by a band called Ripped to Shreds. The name of the track, opening salvo off of Luan, which I believe is actually a Chinese character. These guys are from Taipei, which is pretty interesting. Nonetheless, we're going to keep the music flowing. This is Faceless Burial, irreparably corpsed.